People who trust God and will be blessed by God, ask God, and are concerned about God elevating and glorifying Himself, not them. You see, God's people have a responsibility to present an accurate portrait of God to this world. We have the responsibility to praise God and glorify God while we spend time for a while on this earth. Our job on earth is to glorify God, not ourselves. And this psalm clearly teaches that God alone is to be glorified, and we are to glorify Him. Charles Spurgeon said that if you meet some system of theology that magnifies man, flee from it as fast as you can. I'm not sure of the background of this psalm, but apparently Israel was at some threatening moment. And Psalm 115 is a psalm in which God's people express to God that He should glorify Himself by delivering Israel. It is also a psalm that expresses the need of God's people to trust Him in times of difficulty. And it is a psalm that demonstrates God's people need to testify of God. So it breaks down into five themes. First of all, the psalm expresses a need for God to vindicate Himself. Look at verses 1 through 3. Not to us, O Lord, not to us, but to Your name give glory, for the sake of Your steadfast love and Your faithfulness. Why should the nations say, "Where is their God?" Our God is in the heavens. He does all that He pleases. Now, Israel needed God's help because godless nations and godless powers were walking all over her. It's interesting how the psalm begins. There are two "not to us" statements. This is the only psalm that begins this way. What this shows is that the writer is solely interested in glorifying God. The writer wanted deliverance and blessing, but not so that they would be honored, but so that God would be honored. The writer does not ask God to help Israel because Israel deserves it, because God deserves it. In verse 1, the writer asks God to glorify Himself and His name. And the name of God refers to the various names that God has given to Himself to reveal His person and character. As the writer opens the psalm, as one commentator said, the spotlight should be upon God and not us. We must make certain that we never try to take God's glory for ourselves, and glory belongs solely to God. Now, there are reasons for this. First of all, it's because God is a God of mercy. That word, loving kindness, is a word that refers to the mercy of God. The idea is that God's character has an eager desire and longing to graciously and mercifully reach out to helpless, hurting people. And the point of this is that if God would come to the aid of people when they don't even deserve it, that glorifies Him because it displays His mercy and His loving kindness. And this is because God is a God of truth. God is a God who's always faithful to Himself and His word. God is a God who cannot lie. God has made some great promises to His people. He's promised them a great future. He's promised that He will be with them and He will not fail them nor forsake them. But God helping His people, He glorifies Himself because He shows that He's a God of truth. He remains faithful to His people even though they are not faithful to Him. And because it will silence God mocking nations. You see, apparently pagan nations were mocking God for His inactivity, specifically in regard to Israel. Israel is being dominated by foreign powers who are saying, "Where now is their God?" When God's people are being dominated by things, outsiders can begin to question the existence of God in their lives. But when God intervenes on behalf of His people, it shuts their God-mocking mouths, and Israel needs to remember this right now, and so do we. Because it will show that God does whatever He sovereignly pleases. Psalm 103:19 says God's sovereignty rules over all the earth. God reveals that He is absolute sovereign, and it's time that God's people believe this and worship Him because of it. We live in a limited world, and if someone can do something, He does, and if He cannot do something, He doesn't do it. God does whatever He wants to at any time He wants. There's the sovereignty of God, but God coming to the aid of His people and eliminating their enemies and giving them blessings, it shows that God can do whatever He pleases to do. The fact is, no matter what is happening, God's providential sovereignty is totally undisturbed. Go on, verses 4 through 8, it says, their idols are silver and gold, the work of human hands. They have mouths but do not speak, eyes but do not see. They have ears but do not hear, noses but do not smell. They have hands but do not feel, feet but do not walk, and they do not make a sound in their throat. Those who make them become like them. So do all who trust in them. So in sharp contrast to the true God who does whatever he pleases, there are false idols who cannot protect people, prosper people, or even empower people. Idols may have certain attributes of a human, but they are powerless and lifeless. And false idols are silver and gold. Money has always been an idol to people, but what good is a God that cannot save you? You have to put your trust in money and see where it takes you. Put your trust in your stocks and bonds and see where you end up. Use your silver and gold to glorify God and see where that will take you. Because false idols are a work of man's hands. What good is a God that you can make with your own hands? And then false idols have mouths but cannot speak. What good is a God that cannot talk to you, counsel you, or comfort you? False idols have eyes but cannot see. What good is a God that cannot see you or see anything related to you? False idols have ears but cannot hear. What good is a God who cannot hear your cries or prayers? False idols have noses but cannot smell. What good is a God that cannot smell the sweet fragrance of godly worship? False idols have hands but cannot feel. What good is a God who cannot use hands to save you or help you? False idols have feet but cannot walk. What good is a God that cannot move? False idols cannot make a sound. What good is a God that cannot make a sound? Think for a moment of the gods and goddesses of Greek mythology. They captivate people, and schools actually have courses to study about them. I took a class about mythology back when I was in high school. It's intriguing. They've never lived, those gods and goddesses, or said or done anything. They've never said a word. They've never revealed anything. They've never promised anything. They've never even made a sound. And people who devote themselves to silver and gold are just as foolish. One minister said one time that he looked into a Hindu temple in India and monkeys were in the temple eating the offerings. And so we see verse 18 is interesting and informative. People tend to become like the god they worship. In other words, people who worship a false god will become just as blind, deaf, dead, and lifeless as the idol they worship. Someone wisely said the real purpose of life is to try to find yourself or your freedom, but to try to find your master, and you will be mastered by what you continually devote yourself to. There's only one being worthy of our devotion. That's the true God of the Bible. And then we see that this psalm expresses a need for God's people to trust God. Verses 9 through 11. O Israel, trust in the Lord. He is their help and their shield. O house of Aaron, trust in the Lord. He is their help and their shield. You who fear the Lord, trust the Lord. He is the help and their shield. Contrast the false trust of false idols in verse 8 comes a challenge to trust in the true God. It's interesting that this addresses first to Israel, the covenant nation, then to the priests, controllers of worship, and then to all who fear the Lord. All these groups of people are admonished to trust the Lord. Contrast in trusting false idols. God wants his people trusting in him. God's people need to trust him for two reasons. God's their help and God's their shield. In other words, the true God of the Bible is the only God who can help and defend the people. People need to know this. Well, this world will try and get you to trust in money or other man-made diversions. God says, you trust in me, I'm the only one who can help and protect you. And then this psalm expresses the results of those who trust God. Look at verses 12 through 15. The Lord has remembered us. He will bless us. He will bless the house of Israel. He will bless the house of Aaron. He will bless those who fear the Lord, both the small and the great. May the Lord give you increase, you and your children. May you be blessed by the Lord who made heaven. So God is the source of all blessing. He's the source of every good gift. God's people will trust him. then there will be two amazing results. God will be mindful of his people and bless them. God will actually think about ways to bless his people. He'll bless all classes of people. He'll bless Israel. He'll bless the priests. He'll bless all those who fear him. And he will bless the small and great. Worldly success will not influence him. He'll bless all who trust him. You do not need to be a spiritual superstar, but you need to trust God. And God will give his people increase. Think about that. The maker of heaven and earth is able to abundantly bless and prosper his people. And then the psalm expresses the need for God's people to praise the Lord. Verses 16 through 18. The heavens are the Lord's heavens, but the earth he has given to the children of man. The dead do not praise the Lord, nor do any who go down into silence. But we will bless the Lord from this time forth and forevermore. Praise the Lord. Now God controls the heavens. They are his heavens. However, he has permitted sinful, finite man to live on this earth. They are devoting to worshiping the false deities. And this is why it's so important for God's people to worship the true God and to bless him while they are here on earth. When they die, they cannot do this anymore. When we die, we'll not be able to do one more thing for God. So it's imperative that we testify of the truth of God. It's our responsibility to remind people that we know a living God. It's our responsibility to let them know that we have a relationship with the sovereign God.